Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And we begin with the new cabinet, which is going to meet for the first time today. And the government is under significant pressure over the state response to Storm Eowyn. Hundreds of thousands of people are still without power. 6,000 premises have no water. It'll confirm a record number of junior and super junior ministers today also. I'm joined first by Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. And in a moment, we'll speak to Michael Fitzgerald, Morris Independent TD for Roscommon Galway. Harry, Micheál Martin was out and about yesterday meeting people who were impacted by the storm. Has the government, would you say, been caught off guard by the level of public anger?
I think it has, Claire, and I think it has missed a trick, if you excuse the expression, in relation to this. I mean, when emergencies like this happen, people do expect that politicians will respond and respond immediately because they're the people who will give, you know, moral and political suasion in terms of responding to such disasters. If we look at America in 2015, when the disaster happened, the flooding disaster happened in New Orleans when all the levees burst, George Bush, who was president then, delayed his visit to the stricken area and only then visited by helicopter. And he was condemned widely for not responding adequately to it. In the past, politicians have responded too slowly before. Endicenny, there was flooding in the Midlands along the banks of the Shannon in particular in 2012, I think. And Endicenny took a couple of days to respond and then perhaps overcompensated a little bit by visiting every single affected area in the country. But people do expect politicians to be there. And I think the new government was probably resting on its laurels a little bit. In fairness to Micheál Martin and to Simon Harris, both were away over the course of the weekend and into Monday in Brussels and also in Auschwitz. But it took a long time for any senior politician to go public on it in a meaningful way and to give the public the reassurance that they were responding to the situation and they were putting everything appropriate in place to respond to people who had no electricity, no water, some of them whose houses were very, very badly damaged by the storm.
Yeah, and another way that the Taoiseach might rectify this or go some way to rectifying it and to make sure that people know that rural Ireland is front of mind is the way in which he appoints his junior ministers and having mind to geography in that regard.
Yeah, the geographical aspect is always very important. I remember Bertie Ahern, when he was Taoiseach, talking about demographics and geographics in terms of the selection of ministers and junior ministers. And I think that both he and Simon Harris, who will have control of the 8 Fine Gael juniors, Fianna Fáil will have 10, will be very mindful that there is a good geographical spread so that all areas of the country are represented. Of course, the regional independents have already selected their juniors and all of them happen to be kind of clinging to the western seaboard, Claire, most of them anyway, Galway, Sligo, Kerry. So they do represent rural Ireland in a big way. But each of the parties will also have to show a similar commitment to rural and urban areas around the country. The other thing they have to be very mindful of is the gender balance. They were roundly criticised last week for only having 3 women in the senior cabinet compared to 4 in the outgoing government. And when asked yesterday, Micheál Martin said that he would be working strong to ensure that there was a good gender balance. The difficulty that both parties have, Fianna Fáil only has 7 women TDs in total out of 48. 2 of them are already being assigned. That's Norma Foley in senior cabinet and Mary Butler, who will become the chief whip. So they will have to pick maybe perhaps 2 or 3 of its remaining 5 TDs to 2 junior positions. Fine Gael, similarly, they have 2 senior ministers. They have 1 super junior, Hildegard Nocton, and they're expected to appoint perhaps 1 or 2. The difficulty Fine Gael has is it has more women TDs, but a lot of those are kind of newly elected. So for some, it would be a big jump to just go from being a newly minted TD to being a Minister of State in one fell swoop. So names that have been mentioned in Fine Gael, Eimear Higgins is already a junior minister, is expected to be reappointed. Two new TDs have also been mentioned, Maeve O'Connell and Eimear Curry. On the Fianna Fáil side, Niamh Smith, the former chair of the Arts, Culture and Media Committee in the Dáil, has been named, and she's almost a nap, to use the racing parlance, to be promoted. Other names that have been mentioned include Jennifer Murnane O'Connor from Carlow Kilkenny, and the Dublin South Central TD, Catherine Arda, who's a new TD, but has a lot of Senate experience.
OK, Harry, I'm going to bring in Mary Hanafin, who's with us, barrister and former Fianna Fáil minister. Good morning to you, Mary, and thank you for joining us. Now, this ongoing discussion, and Harry has mentioned it there, about the number of women who've been appointed to Cabinet. Is it your hope that we see a greater gender balance reflected in the junior ministerial announcements?
I know the Taoiseach said yesterday that he will be addressing it at the ministerial level, at the committee level and at the Senate. But today's business is about the ministerial level, and that's where I think he needs to apply his mind. I was particularly disappointed with the Cabinet because we went backwards. It would have been one thing to maintain the status quo, but to have fewer women in Cabinet than we did even when I was in Cabinet, I think is absolutely the wrong direction to go. It sends a really bad message to women and to people all over the country who want that voice represented at Cabinet level. So as I said, it's really disappointing. So I hope that it can be addressed to some degree today.
Mm-hmm. But is it good enough, though, to try to address it now after the main appointments have been made within the junior ministerial ranks, or does it look like an overcompensation?
Well, I think we should be clear in saying, you know, the women who are being mentioned are people of great calibre. And people who have not only political service but have worked in other areas as well, like, to the I know particularly well, Catherine Arda, the solicitor, Maeve O'Connell, even in Fine Gael, I worked with her in Dunleary Council. You know, they're all people of great ability, so they wouldn't just be appointed because of their gender. Mm-hmm. They'll be appointed because they have something to offer.
Yeah, but I suppose, sorry to interrupt you now, but there has been so much criticism about what happened at senior ministerial level, that if we see a lot of appointments, of female appointments now in junior ministerial ranks, well, people will turn around and say, well, you're doing that now to try and shut the people up who were critical of you when you made your senior cabinet appointments.
I don't think they'll be saying it's because of criticism, but I mean, they do need to redress the imbalance. And the fact that Fianna Fáil is only 7, as Harry mentioned, women TDs elected makes it difficult to appoint. But if he appoints even 2 today, that would be 4 out of 7. So it would be a good majority of the female members. But I mean, one would expect that in all walks of life, that you would have equal representation. That's what the population shows. So it should be reflected in government where major decisions are being made. And so undoubtedly, going backwards was a very bad idea. Mm-hmm. So they should try and rectify it again today. Now, when gender quotas came in at the time, I was totally against them. I then came around to think, well, maybe they're working because we're getting more women running. But I think all of the political parties are handling it really, really badly. They leave it until the last 3 months or the last 3 weeks to add women to tickets, to invite women to participate, when in fact they should be now planning for the next local elections, which are 5 years away, and the next general elections, which are 5 years away.
So you're saying that's across the board, even in parties like Labour and the Social Democrats?
I think that they certainly have more women elected, and in a curious kind of a way, it's easier for smaller parties because they don't have sitting TDs. So it can be difficult where you have a sitting TD to suddenly start applying the gender quota in that area and inviting women to run. But where you can do it is where you don't have a sitting TD. So, for example, this election in Louth and in Tipperary South, we ran all female tickets. So it can be done. But it needs to be done well in advance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary, thanks for joining us this morning. Mary Hanafin there, former Fianna Fáil government minister and barrister. Michael Fitzmaurice is with us, independent TD for Roscommon Galway. And it's back to the storm we go now, Michael, because this has been consuming you, I know, since it all happened on Friday. What have you been doing since the storm hit?
Well, obviously, Friday morning, once the wind died down, there was trees. It was like a bomb site in most of the west of Ireland. Myself and my son, and indeed not alone us, but contractors right around the west of Ireland and community people went out to clear the trees on roads everywhere. And it was very disappointing, Claire, that there was roads, and obviously everyone knows that food has to be brought from A to B. A lot of shops were out of bread and different things. So lorries started to come back on the road. And it was ferociously disappointing that councils, in certain parts, wouldn't let workers out till 4 o'clock. Lorries were going up roads with food on board where they couldn't travel. We were out shifting trees and lorries coming up where they basically were blocked. I saw, you know, right around the west of Ireland, a community effort to shift those trees. That was done on Friday and Saturday. There were pockets as well on Sunday, like vulnerable people in places that had no contact. And bear in mind that there was no phone. There is no phone. There is no internet. There is no WhatsApp. And at the moment, I see government agencies actually saying with Irish Water or DSB, log on. How do you log on if your phone isn't working? Mm-hmm. The other thing we have done over the last number of days as well, Claire, is trying to get generators up and running to make sure that I'm involved in Group Water Scheme to make sure that people have water. And it is a disgrace that Irish Water were well aware. It shouldn't be even now we should be talking about this. This is a prerequisite of knowing that if you drive water, let's be clear on this, Claire, a water pipe is underground. It is not like an ESB wire or a broadband wire. Every bit of our water infrastructure is underground. The only part of it is at the pumps, the pumping station or the treatment plants. We should have generators as a prerequisite to always kick in. Businesses, small businesses around this country.
Yeah, but didn't Irish Water say if you were to do that, you'd need 8,000 of them? That's what Irish Water have said consistently from the start. You're hardly saying now that we should have 8,000 generators in storage that we would need in a once-in-a-generation event.
Claire, 2,000 to 3,000 generators is required in this country for emergencies because you can shift them from A to B. A pallet far, or they're like, you can put a forklift under them and shift the generator in a few minutes. We're a scheme in our area. We were able to put two going, up and running, to make sure that was done. We are spending, at the end of the day, Claire, what is the cost of what this is going to be? If we were set up in time, and you look at small businesses, how many businesses has generators around this country to make sure that they give a service to people? I'm talking about government agencies. We have them in hospitals. We have them in a lot of different places. And at the moment, there are places, Claire, that have no electricity. I spoke this morning to a doctor in Ballyhadrine that cannot basically function because they have no computers, the place is freezing, they cannot, even if someone is sick this minute, they cannot operate. I am talking to people, vulnerable people. People, just think of one thing. If you're at home and you have a hoist and you have, a person got a stroke, a hospital bed, you need to be able to use that. A small generator is required to help in that. And I think the government need to do a few things rapid. Irish Water need to cop on, in my opinion. Second of all, the DBOs, design, build and operate, was done around this country. There are some of them that have been in the line of delivered in water. There are some of them that has been proactive and some of them that have absolutely done nothing and left communities high and dry.
So you want
the government
this,
needs to also...
Yeah, this grant... Can we just...
On the water schemes.
Okay, on the generators though, you want a grant-aided programme so that people can go out and buy generators in the event that this would happen again.
Yeah. Because it's small. At the moment, in my own house, I've an old generator, it's a 3.5 kVA. You won't be able to boil a kettle, but the gas cooker will do that. You'll have the heat, you can turn on the heating, you'll have the fridge, and you'll have a bit of light. You need the basics. I am seeing people now, Claire, especially elderly people. I got a phone call last night because I've no coverage near my house. You have to go 5 miles. And last night I go over to check that the pumps are going for the well. And last night I got a phone call, 11:45, of a woman. There's no electricity, no water, an elderly person. And she cried on the phone for about 15 minutes. Now, that's not what we should be doing. We should be, the government at the moment should be sending out like the civil defence, the army, to try and help the most vulnerable in our society. The likes of me is fine. I can get on. But we're living in a part of the country at the moment with the decimation that is being done, as if we don't exist, to be quite frank about it. Because the minute you go home, we're used to, it's like being on a detox at the moment. We're used to looking at the phone to see what's on Facebook, what's on all the different thing, the news.
Yeah, and that's gone. But listen, can I just go back?
An island of our own at the moment.
Can I go back to that call you had last night at 11:45, and that woman in a desperate state? Like, what can you do to help somebody like that?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm driving to her the minute I'm finished with your call, because I want to see what we can do in the line, and maybe get a small generator for the person. We cannot magic them up. We haven't enough at the moment. There's no point in saying. But Lord God, your heart would go out to someone. It actually would, you know, we're human as well. And to see someone in that state is you know, it's a sad thing.
It certainly is. Michael, listen, we'll let you get on. I know you're busy trying to help people there. Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent TD for Roscommon Galway. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.